ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, टुडे मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एलिफेंट गजेंद्रास क्राइसिस टेक्स्ट नंबर 7। नानारण्या पशुव्राता संकुलाद्रोनलंकृतः चित्रद्रुमासुरोद्याना कलकंठाव्यंगमः। ट्रांसलेशन: The valleys beneath Trikuta mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals, and in the trees, which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices. Text number 8. Sarit sarobir achode pulineer manivaluke devastri majana moda surabhamva anileer yata. Trikuta mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal, and when the demigod damsels bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Even in the material world, there are many grades of living entities. The human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. But here we find that because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, the lakes, the breeze, and the entire atmosphere of Trikuta mountain also became fragrant. Since the bodies of the damsels in the upper planetary systems are so beautiful, we can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels or the damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. Hare Krishna. Sorry for giving class, Govind Prabhu's order, so I'm carrying out his order. I seek the blessings of Srinathji Prabhu, Janmashtami Prabhu, and all the other devotees. This is one of the very popular or famous chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, where we are reading about the elephant Gajendra's crisis. Elephant Gajendra is going through a major crisis, and this is a background being given to this episode. And this chapter is very relevant, this section, for sadhakas who are struggling, because we also are in a crisis in this material world. And Srila Prabhupada specifically wanted devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. In one purport, I think here only he writes, in this section, in one of the purports, he writes that devotees should learn prayers offered by, there are certain prayers, Prabhupada says, we should learn, so that, like Gajendra, who was King Indradumna in his previous life, he remembered at the critical time, he remembered the prayers he had learnt as King Indradumna. So Prabhupada said, similarly, devotees in Hare Krishna movement, we should learn certain prayers. Prabhupada says, Chintamani prayers, Gajendra's prayers, and I think Kunti's prayers, like that. So if we learn prayers of great acharyas, it will help us at the time of crisis. We will be able to remember Krishna very intensely and offer our hearts to Krishna. Therefore, our disqualification while practicing devotional service or as sadhakas is not that we have so many anarthas in our heart. Our disqualification becomes when we don't aspire to love Krishna or remember Krishna. So therefore, in this chapter, in this section, we see Gajendra, he offers intense prayers to Krishna when he is in a crisis. So we can learn and take inspiration from this to also offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord. I was reading His Holiness Satsvarup Das Goswami Maharaj writes in one place that all the nonsense that we have done before coming to Krishna consciousness, that is not actually our sin in one sense. He says, all the frivolities, all the sense gratification, the actual sin is that we don't love Krishna. That is the root of everything. So as sadhakas, we should not be so disturbed that, of course, we should be disturbed that we have anarthas in the heart, but we should be more disturbed at our inability to offer heartfelt prayers to the Lord. Because lust, envy, greed, they take a long time, and it is only by Krishna's causeless mercy that they will be eliminated from our hearts. Once one devotee told Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, I am so fallen. And he said, Prabhupada, he had taken sannyas. He was a grihastha and he had taken sannyas. And he said, Prabhupada, last night, you know, my wife came in my dream. I'm still not forgotten her. So he was presenting himself as a very fallen soul. But Prabhupada didn't get upset by that. Prabhupada encouraged him. Prabhupada said, that's okay. Even my wife came in my dream last night. No problem. That's not a disqualification. You know? Prabhupada could have chastised him. What nonsense. No. So our anarthas are not a disqualification. We have to aspire. Because we are going through this stage of anartha nivritti. We come to Krishna consciousness. Then because we get some little faith, adosh shraddha, then we associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. And if you associate with devotees, they won't leave you like that. They'll tell you to follow four regulative principles, chant 16 rounds. And then we start, that is bhajanakriya. And then there is this long, vast intermediate zone called anartha nivritti, where we struggle with all our anarthas. And that's a lot of churning taking place in the heart. We think sometimes that, oh, I'm seeing Krishna. When we're excited, we may think that I'm advancing. And after some years, we may think, yeah, I'm actually advanced. I can see Krishna. But then we're not seeing Krishna. Krishna immediately shows us a mirror and we can see ourselves. During anartha nivritti, we see our anarthas face to face. And we have a tough time to reconcile to the fact that we are not advanced as we think we are. During such times, we have to take shelter of Krishna and become humble. And therefore, Rupa Goswami has so mercifully given us the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he explains how, during the stage of anartha nivritti, to overcome these anarthas, he gives us 64 items of devotional service. He gives so many items. He says, we can practice all this and advance in our Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. So as we practice this sincerely, we will eventually come to a stage when the love for Krishna, which is dormant in our heart, will actually awaken. It will blossom. And we'll be able to realize our constitutional position. And the essence of all the 64 items is, always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. That is the essence. Sometimes we may have some discrepancies in the rules and regulations. We may make mistakes. But the essence, Srila Prabhupada always said, is we should remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So therefore, Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti is a process where we aspire to remember Krishna every moment, always. And therefore, one of the items Rupa Goswami gives is vigyapti, surrender, submission to Krishna. Offering prayers, vigyapti. And there, he describes that we can offer two kinds of prayers to Krishna. One is the shastric prayers, where we repeat prayers like we have Gajendra's prayers now, or Kunti's prayers given in Srimad Bhagavatam, or great Vaishnava Acharyas have sung. So these are called as shastric prayers. So we come in front of the Lord and we repeat these prayers. Because we do not know how to pray. Like the demigods offer wonderful prayers in, we read in Krishna book, demigods offering to Mother Devaki when Krishna is in the womb. So that gives us an idea of how to pray. Because many times devotees say, how do we pray to Krishna? We don't know how to pray. So we have so many examples in Shastras which teach us how to pray. So these are Shastric prayers are there. And the second is the personal prayers that we offer. And even in Shastric prayers, to help us pray to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna, there are three types Rupa Goswami gives. First he says is Sampratanatmika, where a devotee is offering his heart and expressing to Krishna that Krishna, I want to render sincere devotional service. His aspiration when he is offering Sampratanatmika prayers is that Krishna, please engage me in your service. Let me love you. I have no love for you in my heart. I want to develop love for you. I want to develop attraction for chanting the holy names. So the aspiration that he is expressing, the stage that he wants to reach, his aspiration is Sampratanatmika prayer. So we can come in front of Krishna and offer these prayers. An example of this prayer is like what Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes. Vishaya je priti hobe achaye amar sei mata priti hoka charane tomar. That my dear Lord, just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl spontaneously and a person is attracted to sense gratification. Vishaya je priti hobe achaye amar sei mata priti hoka charane tomar. Let that same intensity develop in my heart towards your lotus feet. So here he is expressing an aspiration that I want to develop attachment to your lotus feet. So this comes under that category, Sampratanatmika prayer. Then devotees are also encouraged to offer Dainya Bodhika prayers, which is when a devotee comes in front of the Lord and expresses his fallen condition, that Krishna, I am so fallen. He condemns himself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Amito Kamer Das, Vishaya Vasana Jagiche Hridaye, Phadiche Karama Fas. My dear Gopinath, I am a servant of lust. This calls for great humility to offer Dainya Bodhika prayers. Because if you are offering a prayer expressing our fallen condition, we are actually telling Krishna that I am fallen, and that requires a lot of courage to accept. It's not lip service. You know, it's actually calling, saying from the heart. Amito Kamer Das, Vishaya Vasana, Jagiche Hridaye, Phadiche Karam Phas. It's strangling me. Kabeva Jagibo Ami, Kama Rupayar, Dureteya Givo, Hridaye Spuribe Tumi. When will this lust go away from my heart? So he's intensely begging the Lord. Dainya Bodhika prayers is when a devotee condemns himself as very fallen. Like Kaviraj Goswami also writes, Jagai madai hoite mui se papishta, puri shera kita hoite mui se lagishta. That I am more sinful than jagai and madai. And I am puri shera kita hoite. I am like a worm in the stool. So this is like a Dainya Bodhika prayer. And there is also a third category of prayer called as Lalsa Mai, which a very advanced level. We may not be able to offer this prayer, but this is a prayer offered by advanced devotees for personal service of the Lord, where they want to render some personal service. They, like in the Sampratanatmika, they are aspiring to develop love for Krishna. In Lalsa Mai, they actually are offering that love. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Shama Gori Ange Dibo Charanera Ganda, Shama Gori Ange Dibo Chandanera Ganda Chamara Dulabo Kabe Heri Mukha Chandra. When will I anoint the bodies of Radha and Krishna with sandalwood pulp? When will I fan them with the chamar whisks? So these are all Lalsa Mai prayers. So devotees are encouraged by Rupa Goswami to offer Sampratanatmika prayers, Dainya Bodhika prayers. So these are Shastric prayers. And there is also a very important category. One of the 64 items is personal prayer. Now this is very important, because personal prayer is when we come in front of the Lord and internalize all those prayers which we have learned and read and heard in classes. We personalize the Shastric prayers. So like if Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, I'm fallen, then we say, oh Krishna. We repeat that prayer and then say, Krishna, actually I'm fallen. We personalize it. It's my prayer. I'm fallen. And it's not simply sufficient to tell Krishna that I'm fallen. Because the danger in offering only Shastric prayers is, we may hide behind these Shastric prayers. In the sense, we may just chant these prayers, Kunti's prayers, like a parrot mechanically. And we may say, I am fallen, but we may not tell Krishna how fallen I am. You know, it's very easy to say, Prabhu, I am fallen, please give me your mercy. No, Prabhu, you are great, I am fallen. No, Prabhu, I am in Maya. No, Prabhu, you are in Yog Maya. I am in Mahamaya. You know, this kind of dialogues are very common. You know? So we may go through this ritual. Mechanical prayers also can be mechanical. But if we come back to the point what Rupa Goswami says, the essence of all these 64 items is to always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. So personal prayers help us, reinforces the point that we have to remember Krishna. So we personalize these prayers and we say, Krishna, actually I am fallen. We repeat Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayers, and while praying we say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching me how to pray, Krishna, actually I am fallen. These are the mistakes I have done. We may not like to admit certain mistakes, certain shortcomings. But personal prayers helps us to go deeper and actually confess to Krishna that I am fallen and how fallen I am. Of course, Krishna already knows that we are fallen. Krishna already knows all the mistakes we have done. Krishna knows everything. But still, Krishna becomes happy when we come in front of him and actually confess how I am fallen. Because then Krishna sees, oh, this person is becoming humble. He is actually confessing. That means he wants to improve. For therefore, this is a way to pray to Krishna. And these prayers and these directions on how to pray and how to take shelter of Krishna is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, Gajendra himself offers wonderful prayers in the later section, we'll see. When the crocodile catches his feet and is desperate to come out, he struggles and all. None of his relatives, wives, children can help him. And at that moment, he intensely calls out to the Lord and offers a series of wonderful prayers. And through these prayers, he is teaching us why and how to take shelter of Krishna. In one of the prayers, he says, Madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya swamshena sarvatanubhran manasi pratita pratyagrishe bhagavate brihate namaste. He says, my dear Lord, I am tightly bound by the ropes of materialistic activities. Please free me. This crocodile is actually representing my own sinful activities. So now he is teaching us why we should take shelter of Krishna. He gives us different reasons, which makes the Lord very special and most qualified person to give us relief from suffering and to give us shelter. So he says, I am an animal which is tightly bound by the shackles. And he says, I have to take shelter of you because you are free from the shackles. If somebody is tightly bound by ropes, he is tied very tightly. Now we cannot call out for help from another person who is next to us and is also tightly bound. Please help me, but he is also tightly bound. He cannot help us. So when we take shelter of materialistic society, materialistic friends and relatives, that is like taking shelter of somebody who is also bound. So Gajendra says, I have realized this, my dear Lord, because I called out to all my wives, my children, I was playing with them, we were enjoying, but none of them could help me. So therefore, Prapanna, I take shelter of you because you are vimokshanaya. Madruk prapanna pashupasha vimokshanaya. You are free from these shackles. Therefore, you can free me. It's very important. First point is, if we want to be free from being tightly bound, then we need shelter of somebody who is free. So then he says, muktaya. He says, you are the one who is fully liberated. Muktaya bhuri karunaya namo layaya. So first quality about Krishna, Why we should take shelter of Krishna and pray to Krishna is because Krishna is free from the material inabilities. He is not bound. We are bound. So we have to call out to Krishna for help. Second thing is, sometimes somebody may be free from the shackles. Like for example, I may be tightly bound by a rope and I may be tied to a tree and I may need relief. And I may call out to somebody, please help me. And he says, but my dear sir, even I am bound, I cannot help you. Okay, fine. And I cannot ask help from you. But then I see another person who is free and is walking by. And I tell him, my dear friend, please help me. I am tightly bound, release me. Now, if I call out to him for help, he is free. But he may not release me. In fact, he may be happy. Good, that serves you right, he may say, if he's envious. So, the Lord's qualification is not simply that he is free from material modes. That is not why he is the supreme shelter for all of us. The second qualification is more important. Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namolayaya. He is Bhuri Karunaya. He is most merciful. He actually wants to release us from this suffering. He is Bhuri Karunaya. So if we call out to somebody for help, and if he is free, he should also want to help us. He should also be eager to help us and release us from the shackles of suffering. And Krishna is such merciful Lord. Lord not only is free from the modes, he is more than happy. He is his great compassion on us that he wants to release us. Even this may not be complete qualification for somebody to take shelter of. Like somebody may be free, I am bound tightly, but the person who I am calling out, he is free. And he may also be very merciful. He may want to help me. But what if I call out loudly for help and he is walking by and he doesn't hear or he doesn't have the ability to release me? That also is possible. So not only the person who releases us should be free from the shackles, he should be compassionate, he should be wanting to help. And thirdly, he should have the ability. He should be alert, he should be able to hear our call. So that is Namo Layaya. Krishna is very alert. Muktaya Bhuri Karunaya Namo Layaya. Krishna is very alert to our sincere, desperate call. No prayer or no aspiration or sincere call ever goes waste. Krishna hears it because he is Namo Layaya. He is super alert. He wants, he is waiting. When will the soul turn towards me? Somebody may say, but how does Krishna become is so alert? How can Krishna hear me? Because Swamshena Sarvatanubhran Manasi Pratita. He is there in the heart of every living entity. Swamshena Sarvatanubhran. And he knows all our desires. Therefore, if we sincerely desire to practice devotional service and offer our hearts, Krishna will immediately respond to that call. Therefore, it is said that there is no impediment or disqualification in devotional service. The only disqualification is our lack of desire. Save pumsam parodharma yato bhakti radokshaje ahetuki apratiyata yayatma suprasidati. It is continuous. It is causeless. And it is uninterrupted. It is not stopped by any material situation. There is no situation when we say that I cannot pray to Krishna. Like we heard about the Russian devotees, how during the KGB rule they were put in prison. They were not allowed to chant. They were not allowed to do kirtan. So they did, they celebrated whole, Janmashtami festival in the prison by simply their external actions. Like they told all the inmates, okay, today is Janmashtami, so let us all chant Mangalarti. So they were all chanting in mind, but they were externally dancing, moving their hands, and then they said, okay, now we'll do Abhishek of the deities. So there is nothing there. But they are offering their mind and heart and they are actually performing that abhishek, then they are dressing the deity. There is nothing there, but they are offering. There is no impediment. There is nothing that can stop us from offering our heart to Krishna, because Krishna is always alert to our sincere call. So therefore, we should offer our hearts. I was reading one devotee's, one very senior ISKCON devotee's realization. He was writing that he was going through a phase when there was a lot of challenges and a lot of meetings were going on and ISKCON issues were coming up. And he said, at that point of time, I thought, what will happen? So many decisions might go like this or it might go like this. Then what will happen? Then I realized, whatever happens, nobody is going to take away my bead bag. You know, whatever decisions they take, nobody is going to tell me that stop chanting Hare Krishna. And he said, nobody is going to tell me, nobody is going to take away all the realizations that I have had in Krishna consciousness. Nobody is going to tell me not to remember Prabhupada, not to take shelter of Krishna. So there is no impediment in devotional service. And that is what Gajendra is teaching. He is in an elephant's body, plus he is in the water, in great distress. But that's when he calls out to Krishna very intensely. And he says, Pratyak Drishe Bhagavate Brihate Namaste. A direct observer of all activities. And Brihate, Krishna is unlimited. So all these qualities which he mentioned about Krishna in the previous lines of this verse, all those qualities are in unlimited amount in Krishna. Brihate Namaste. So he is unlimitedly free, he is unlimitedly compassionate, he is unlimitedly alert. So like that, Krishna is the Lord that we have to take shelter of. Of course, the material world offers us many alternatives not to surrender to Krishna. We are given a lot of opportunities to be complacent. But Bhagavatam describes that, actually Srimad Bhagavatam exposes the situation in this material world and how all sources of shelter are fallible and they will collapse under the ravages of time. When Vidura is talking to Maitreya Rishi, he also expresses this, that how only Krishna shelter and Srimad Bhagavatam shelter we should take. He says, Sukhaya karmani karoti loko nate sukam va niditaramam va vindeta bhuya tateva dukham nayatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. An amazing analysis by Mahatma Vidur on the condition of all the living entities here. Now, this was spoken 5,000 years ago, but it applies to modern times so nicely. He says, what is the situation today? Why people are not able to take shelter of Krishna? Why they are not offering their hearts to Krishna? Because people are desperate for happiness, which they think they will get by fruitive activities, by working hard. Sukhaya karmani karoti loko. All the people in this loka, they work hard, they perform karma with the hope that I will become happy. But what happens when they work so hard for happiness? Sukhaya karmani karoti loko nate sukham vanyaditaramam va. They don't get happiness. So they are working hard with the objective of being happy, but they don't get happiness. Then they feel, okay, I'm not experiencing happiness. At least, let me become peaceful in life. There is a difference between being happy and being peaceful. Being peaceful means we are suffering a lot. Let me come to the zero stage. From minus, let me come to zero. Let me get shanti, relief from suffering. Happiness is positive. Like somebody is sick in the hospital and is in pain, screaming in pain. His first desire is, at least let me become cured. Let the fever go away. And then he may want to get out of the hospital and enjoy or whatever. So initially, everybody wants happiness in this world. If you see everybody, they are all looking for happiness. But this material world offers only relief, temporary relief from suffering. It doesn't offer any positive happiness. But they don't realize that. They work hard. And after so many years of working out, they still realize that the carrot is still dangling ahead. They're not able to get that. It's so miserable. But then they reconcile or they console themselves. Okay, okay. At least let me not experience more suffering. Natai sukam vanajitaramamba. But what happens? Vindeta bhuya tateva dukkham. But not only they don't get relief, not only they don't get peace, their suffering it becomes more with the passage of time. Look at this most plightful condition of the living entity. Initially the endeavor is to get happiness. And we don't get that happiness. Then we say, okay, at least let me become peaceful. But time is so cruel and unforgiving that we become more miserable. Vindeta bhuya tateva dukkham. Nayatra yuktam bhagavan vadena. There is no hope for the living entity who is thus completely caught up in this mess, in the complicated ghora karma. He is in a mess. He doesn't understand what to do, how to get out of these shackles. So what is the solution? Or what is the reason for this? In the next verse, Vidura reveals. Janasya krishnad vimukasya devad adharma shilasya sudukkitasya anugrahayeha charanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. The only reason why people are suffering in this world is because janasya krishnad vimukasya devad. Krishna vimukha. People have become averse to Krishna. So there is only suffering. Janasya krishnad vimukasya devad. And because of being vimukha to Krishna, they perform adharma. Adharma shilasya sudukkitasya. Therefore they get not only dukkha, sudukkitasya. More and more suffering. Therefore, we have to take shelter of pure devotees who are going around. Anugrahaye acharanti nunam bhutani bhavyani janardanasya. These pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada and his representatives are traveling all over to deliver these fallen souls and help them remember Krishna so that they can be happy. So these pure devotees are traveling everywhere teaching us how to take shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, if you simply keep working hard and forgetting Krishna, we can never be happy. Because this analysis by Vidura exposes the situation today. Kapila Dev also says, Yamyam artam upadatte dukkhena sukahetave tamtam dhunoti bhagavan puman chochati yat krite. He says, people, psychology of the people is, Yamyam artam upadatte, hard work to get more and more artha, money. Yamyam artam upadatte dukkhena sukahetave. They feel dukkha will go away and I will get happiness. But what happens? Tamtam dhunoti bhagavan. Krishna in the form of time. Tamtam, each and every hope and plan of ours to be happy, dhunoti. He just washes it away. Just like a tsunami may come and wash away all the pebbles and everything from the shores of the ocean. Similarly, the waves of time will come and take away each and every plan of ours for material happiness. Tamtam dhunoti bhagavan. And then what happens to the human being? Puman chochati tatkrite. He just sits and laments. Oh, what has happened? My life has gone. But like this, we are suffering constantly. Because we are not taking shelter of Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam exposes condition in this material world and encourages us to take shelter of Krishna. Because we suffer, but the Avranatmika Shakti of the Lord covers our intelligence and we again continue to engage in sense gratification. We again get hope and again we get smashed. Again we have hopes. After the tsunami episode, this was very graphically illustrated by this magazine, Outlook magazine. They carried a cover story and they had 4 photographs. You know, very interesting feature they had. In the first photograph, all same place, Chennai, I think Chennai or Sri Lanka, Kolam, some place in Sri Lanka, some tsunami hit area, beach. So they showed, first photograph, on top of it, that they wrote, 1 week before tsunami. So they showed that spot, people are enjoying in the beach. And then, the next photograph was, immediate scene after the tsunami devastation. So they showed all destruction, you know, the waters are coming and then they showed 1 day after the tsunami and people are lamenting and crying, and you know. And the fourth photograph was 1 week after tsunami. So the same, that fourth photograph and the first photograph was same. In Chennai, you know, beach, people are enjoying in the sea, and everything is going on as usual. This is how short-lived memory of suffering is in this world. Because hopes for enjoyment is so deep-rooted. And because we are Krishna Vimukha, we perform adharma and we keep getting kicked, but still have hopes, hopes, hopes. I remember once in the local train I was going, and one old man, maybe 75 plus, you know, he was sitting, and some fight happened with some young man, you know, like somebody pushed him or something. And then he got angry, he said, "You don't realize," and he started shouting. And then this boy said, "Uncle, aapki galti, aapne dekha nahi," or something. So this old man got angry and he went on a tangent, you know, he started shouting. He said, "You know, I'm working so hard. For the last 50 years, I'm traveling in local trains." And he was just talking about his experience of traveling for the last 50 years in local train and how he's so senior and so experienced. And how dare this young boy criticize him. So I was just thinking, this man, 50 years, is still working hard. For what? What hope? So if you are Vimukha Krishna, this is our condition, you know. Keep traveling, getting kicked, suffering. Therefore, Vidura says that we have to take shelter of Krishna. Because there will be suffering in the life of devotee also. Therefore, he has given us the 64 items, that we offer our hearts to Krishna. And so that this suffering will be last time. This life will be the last suffering. And we can tolerate it also. And remember Krishna. In the next verse, Vidura says, Kastrupnuyatirtapadobidanat Satre shuvasu ribiridyamanat Yakarnanadim purushasya jato Bhava pradamge haratim chinnati. He says, Kastrupnuyat. How can anybody in this world be satisfied without taking shelter of Krishna? It is impossible. He is declaring it. He is asking questions to Uddhav. Maitreya Rishi. He is asking questions to him and he himself gives the answer, hoping that Maitreya Rishi will then elaborate on them and give his realizations also. So he is saying, how can anybody be satisfied without taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna? Because if we take shelter of Krishna Katha and Krishna's pastimes, Yakarana Nadim Purushasya Jato, if this Krishna Katha enters the ear holes, then it will enter the heart, and what will happen? Bhava pradam geha ratim. All this suffering we are going through is because of this attachment to materialistic house, materialistic activities. Geha ratim chinnati. All that will be cut off by Krishna. That is the potency of Krishna Katha. Therefore, we have to hear about Krishna, offer our hearts to Krishna faithfully and sincerely. Sashraddhadanasya vivardhamana virakti manyatra karoti pumsa hare padanu smriti nivritasya samasta dukha pyayamashu datte. Now he says very beautiful point. He says, if we faithfully shraddhadanasya, if we faithfully hear about Krishna and try to remember Krishna, what will happen? Vivardhamana, there will be an increase in our life. Increase of what? Viraktim. Detachment from materialistic activities will increase as we take shelter of Krishna more and more. Virakti manyatra karoti pumsa. And then, as we hear about Krishna, virakti will increase and hare padanu smriti nivritasya. Jai. Shishyada Gopinath ki jai. The remembrance of Krishna's lotus feet, hare padanu smriti nivritasya, that will increase the bliss in our heart. And then what happens to all that dukkha we have experienced before coming to Krishna consciousness? All that dukkha we have gone through because of engaging in materialistic activities? Samasta dukkha payam ashu datte, it will all dry up. All this dukkha is in an ocean, dukkha sagar. It's an ocean of suffering, sorrow. That ocean will dry up by the power of remembrance of Krishna. That is the power of the sun of remembrance of Krishna that dries up this ocean of sorrow. And therefore, we have to take shelter of Krishna Katha. And finally, in the last part of this conversation, he finally says, my dear Maitreya Rishi, I'm convinced that whatever people are seeking happiness in this world, whatever they're getting is very little compared to what they're desiring. Soham rinam kshulla sukhaya dukkham mahat gatanam viramaya tasya pravarte bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. He says, soham rinam kshulla sukha. We are getting shulla sukha, very little insignificant happiness, and mahat gatanam viramayatas, and dukkha is mahat. Shulla sukha and dukkha mahat. Sukha is very little, dukkha is too much. It is like, you know, somebody is standing on that swimming pool, they have this, what is that called? Diving board. So somebody is standing on the diving board and he jumps. And he is very tired and he is feeling the heat of the summer and he wants relief. And he sees, oh, there is this beautiful swimming pool. And he says, I'll jump and I'll experience relief. And I'll experience freshness. All my fatigue will go away. So he jumps. But he doesn't realize that the pool is very shallow. Actually, the water is very thin layer of water. So what happens when he jumps? So for half a second, he experiences relief. Isn't it? As soon as he touches the water, maybe there is 1 microsecond of relief. Water, but then immediately after that, what happens? Dog, he hits on the ground because the water is very shallow. And then he breaks his head, leg, everything. Starts bleeding, miserable. That is the condition of the living entity. He wants happiness, and this material world is like that swimming pool. Very little water, very little hope. Jumps, engages in sense gratification, but that momentary relief is insignificant. But so much pain. Mahat gatanam viramayatasya. Therefore, pravartaye bhagavatam puranam yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishibhya. Sri Vedavyas has so mercifully given us Srimad Bhagavatam to take shelter of, hear about Krishna. This way, we can overcome all our suffering. Therefore, this is the essence of this section of Srimad Bhagavatam, that we should also, like Gajendra, call out to Krishna helplessly and take shelter of Krishna. And not be complacent, because we are actually like Gajendra. We are, every moment we are in that crisis, because death can come at any moment. And we all can see now, in today's, as of today, what is the fear in the society. How much people are fearful about death. They are actually, if you see this swine flu, there is very little awareness of this disease. What is there in the society is panic. Because the fear of death has overwhelmed the consciousness of people, that there is so much panic now going on. Death can come at any moment. We know this. We can see not only from this, before this there was the terrorism strike. So we can now see how the agents of Kali are actually working hard, all out, to prevent us from taking shelter of Krishna. Because the only way we can take shelter of Krishna in Kali Yuga is through the process of Sankirtan. That means by coming together like this and hearing and chanting about Krishna. But through these terrorist attacks, through all these problems, consciously there is an effort being made by Kali and Maya that we do not come together. Because on the Janmashtami Day, there was a big advertisement in the newspaper by the government, I think. Celebrate Janmashtami at home. Don't go to temples. There is fear of death. And as a social obligation, and to, we also have to follow. But we see that how death can come at any moment. And agents of Kali are trying their best to prevent us from coming together and chanting and hearing. So therefore, whatever little chance we get to come together, we have to desperately take shelter of Krishna. Because as Kali Yuga progresses, it will be very difficult to have Sankirtan. So here Gajendra's episode is very, very instructive for us. There is disease, death everywhere. I remember in our youth program that we do near Borivali, all young boys come, you know, 20, less than 25 years old. And one of them is just 21 and he lost his one kidney. Another young boy, he's got a massive inflammation of the heart. One day he doesn't take medicines, he goes through, he says he can die any moment. So many young boys we are seeing going through so many serious diseases and crises. So death can take us away from our complacent situation anytime. That means we are like Gajendra. Shikshashakam Prabhu was telling me that when he was in London, I asked him about one boy and he said, oh, this boy, now he has to be lifelong in bed because he's got some serious back problem and he can't move. So I said, how it happened? He said this boy was one day, he got up in the morning and as soon as he got up, he felt little pain in the back and then he sneezed a few times loudly because he was having some problem. And as he sneezed loudly, and then he realized that it becomes so serious that he can't get up now. I mean, externally, if you see, it is hardly anything. You just sneeze, something happened, and then your body is gone. So right now, we don't know what's going to happen to us, how the cells are working within the body. We have no idea about it. That means we are like Gajendra. Therefore, we have to desperately call out to Krishna for mercy, understanding that this world is a dangerous place. Gajendra does that. Actually, when he's finally about to, he says, I'm going to give up my body now. I can't take it anymore. He's struggling and finally he sees Lord Vishnu coming. It's not that it's very easy for him when he sees Lord Vishnu. It's not that he's very blissful. He starts smiling. No. He puts all his effort with great endeavor. He picks up the lotus from his trunk and offers it to Krishna. Sonta sara surubale nagrihi tartha drishtva garutmati harim giram chakram utkshipya sambujakaram giramaha krichram narayana akhila guru bhagavan namaste. He says sonta saras urubalena grihita artha. So when the crocodile had completely taken over his feet and he was in great pain, drishtva garutmati harim ka upata chakram, he saw Lord Vishnu coming on Garuda with his Sudarshan chakra in his hand. So at that moment, what did Gajendra do? Utkshipya sambujakaram giramaha krichran. With great difficulty and great endeavor, he picked up the lotus. And with intensity, he called out to the Lord, Narayana Akhila Guru, Bhagavan Namaste, O Narayana, O Akhila Guru, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So that means we have to call out to Krishna with great intensity and great endeavor. Because Krishna has also mercifully appeared to us, like Lord Vishnu appeared in front of Gajendra. He has appeared in front of us in the form of his most merciful holy names. By the chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. For through this chanting of holy names, we also can take shelter of Krishna like Gajendra took shelter. And we can also offer our hearts, and that's difficult. That's a struggle. And that is anartha nivritti, to offer with great intensity and call out to Krishna. And we have to offer this prayer that Krishna, I am yours. Please give me the strength to withstand all this suffering and let me aspire to come to you. I was reading the Journey Home book and devotees pointed out a very interesting section when Isolina Radhana Swami Maharaj is coming to Vrindavan. First time, he gets typhoid and he's in the hospital and the doctor, as a matter of fact, tells him, you may die. I'll try to save you. And Maharaj is saying that he's lying on the bed and he knows that he may die. And he offers a prayer to the Lord. He says, Lord, I am yours. You can do what you want with me. That's like Ashlishava Padaratam prayer, you know. Krishna, I am yours. Let me offer whatever way I can please you the most. Let that be my condition. Let me do that. So that is a sadhaka's aspiration, that he wants to please Krishna in all situations. And with this mood, with this desire, he offers his prayers. And with this desire, he chants the holy names. Therefore, let us study this section and hear these classes on Gajendra, which is going on now, in this mood that we also want to take shelter of Krishna like Gajendra took shelter. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments regarding today's class? Yes, Krishna Namprabhu.
Thank you, Brajbihari Prabhu, for a very nice class. You explained so nicely that, you know, ultimately the whole problem that we are encountering is because we are forgetful of Krishna. All the miseries that we are facing is because of our forgetful of Krishna. And, you know, we try to get peace, and then we try to get happiness, and then we find that we are continuously suffering. But it happens that, you know, particularly for us Grahasthas, you know, we try to, you know, follow these principles that you have explained. But somehow or the other, we get so much caught up in our family life and, you know, look after our children and, you know, bringing them up. And after that, they get married and then we get, you know, our grandchildren. And so somewhere along the way, that intensity for Krishna consciousness somehow gets diluted. I mean, it's unconscious. Externally we are performing all the activities of Krishna consciousness, but still that dilution is there in our consciousness. So what is the fate of such a person? You know, one who is completely turned away from Krishna is completely in a suffering condition, but one who is come into the process of Krishna consciousness, but because of his, you know, situation that he is being put in, you know, so much of attachment to family members and all that, he is not able to really focus his heart and soul into the process of Krishna consciousness, you know. And particularly, you know, after we see that after several years of being in this movement, you know, there is a tendency to be complacent, as you rightly said. So how do people in the Grahastha ashram really ensure that they are completely fixed up right up to the end of their lives?
If I could share my 5 paise worth realization on this. The first point is, actually, it's not a Grahastha's problem. No? This can be a problem of even the renunciants or anyone for that matter, this complacency. Because we may be involved in so many projects, so many services, so many important things to do, that we may forget the essence of all these services is to remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So we may compromise and sacrifice the consciousness and remembrance, of favorable remembrance of Krishna at the altar of apparently doing so many things. So what is the solution, or how do we break this complacency? Very practically speaking, what I feel is, what we can do is, forget the big things. At least let us give quality time and energy to our 16 rounds every day. Now this is a very important point, because Prabhupada said chant minimum 16 rounds, and for most of us practically it is maximum what we can do is 16 rounds. Practically, for considering the so many things that we have to do, that means, in essence, we, let us say 2 hours for 16 rounds. That means we only have 2 hours. So those 2 hours, let us give our, let that be the best offering to Krishna that we can do in those 2 hours. Then Krishna will take care of our consciousness or whatever. You know, you take care of your chanting, and chanting takes care of you. Basically, we have only 2 hours. And in those 2 hours, and the worst problem what happens is, in those 2 hours, we land up planning so many things for the day. And that's why, because those thoughts have preoccupied our mind during those 2 hours, those thoughts carry us during the other time of the day also. But imagine, those 2 hours, we only pray and offer our hearts to Krishna prayerfully and hear the holy name. Then rest of the day, as we are absorbed in other services, because we intensely remembered Krishna in those 2 hours, that remembrance will keep coming occasionally. So right now, what is our situation? While chanting, we are thinking, today I have to do this, I have to do this service, this meeting, that service. But now let us say, for a change, today I am chanting 2 hours, I am only thinking of Krishna, offering my heart and helplessly calling out. Then what happens is, then throughout the day when I am chanting, throughout the day when I am doing my services, I may be looking forward for the next day's chanting. Like during chanting, we are conscious of our services throughout the day. By good chanting of 2 hours, we'll come to a stage when we will be conscious of chanting throughout the services that we are doing throughout the day. Now that's like, there's nothing like it. That means we are remembering Krishna, because Krishna is not different from holy name. And for us, japa. So japa is actually an opportunity for us to take shelter of Krishna. So basically what we have only 2 hours. You have 2 hours in a day with Krishna, you and Krishna, no, nobody else, nobody to disturb you. 2 hours, your appointment with Krishna every day. What an opulence. An appointment to the Supreme Person of Godhead every day, 2 hours. So if we can at least forget everything else for those 2 hours and give priority to quality chanting, then all those family responsibilities, issues, so many things, Krishna will see our sincerity, that, oh, you are sincerely giving your 2 hours, Krishna will help us. We'll increase our ability to remember him throughout the day. But generally what happens, either we think about the services we have to do during chanting, or the second thing, we are time conscious. We constantly keep, you know, oh, now 20 minutes, 15 minutes left, so two rounds I can finish. And during chanting, you know, I've gone through this also, like, so conscious, okay, now I have to finish this round, and then, so what, it's like, you know, you're sitting with the Supreme, it's like you're sitting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you're sitting in front of Krishna, because you are holy name, you are chanting the holy name, and you are constantly looking at the watch, and looking here. It's like, if you meet an important person, if an appointment with the most important person on this planet, and you're talking to him, and you are restless, not that important person, he has all the time, and you are like looking at the watch, and when will this appointment end, and sometimes you're shaking the watch, restless. For that person will say, if you're not interested in me, interested to be with me, then I'll be the first one to go, I'll go before you want me to leave, you know. So similarly, while chanting, if you are time conscious rather than Krishna conscious, then what happens is, Krishna leaves that holy name, in the sense, that becomes external external utterances of some syllables. It is not the holy name. So at least let us try these basic things, you know, throwing the watch out during chanting. In the sense, not exactly being time conscious, but being Krishna conscious and focusing on the quality of our 16 rounds. I think these small steps will, baby steps will help Krishna, will help us show Krishna that we are sincere, and then Krishna may, out of his causeless mercy, give us the taste for holy name, give us the strength to overcome material attachments, and be fixed in our devotional service to Krishna with all our responsibilities. Is that okay, Prabhu? Would you like to add some comments on this, Prabhu?
You touched on the process of anartha nivritti. One of the things that Krishna does is he reveals to us what's wrong in our heart, you know, how we're covered by it. And then what I'm wondering is if you could describe what's the best thing to do after that revelation takes place. I mean, it's a very humbling experience. And, you know, it's not like we just become anartha conscious and stop being, you know, and forget about Krishna. We just think about, you know, how fallen we are. But what do the acharyas, what does Prabhupada recommend?
Rupa Goswami writes in the same section of 64 items. One of the items is, how to practice devotional service during suffering. I'll come back to the specific point about anarthas being exposed to us. But in that particular section, he explains how we can offer everything to Krishna. Even an opportunity, we can make advancement at every situation in our life. Rupa Goswami says, even a situation of suffering we are in, even that situation can be transformed into an opportunity for advancing in devotional service by doing two things. He says, first is, tolerate that suffering, knowing that I deserve worse, and this is a result of my karma. But this tolerance is very difficult in the long run, because it may explode like a volcano. You know, you simply keep tolerating. So the second thing Rupa Goswami says is, simultaneously, remember Krishna, offer our hearts to Krishna. He quotes this verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Tattenu kampam susamikshamanu. So that remembering Krishna and also tolerating. So similarly, when the anarthas are exposed, we are exposed to our own anartha, that I am lusty, I am sinful. So it requires a lot of courage to accept that we have it. But when we are faced with it, we can tolerate it, in the sense we have to tolerate it, we have to live with it for some time. And at the same time, offer our hearts to Krishna, and offer the whole thing in a platter to Krishna for healing. Because Krishna is the one who will heal us of all these anarthas. So that should help us and motivate us to take shelter of Krishna more. Because these are our weaknesses. And these weaknesses, generally when we think of the word weakness, we think somebody, weak means thin, you know, weak, But our anarthas are weaknesses, but they are not like a thin man who is a weakling, a huge demon. It's not weak, it's actually mighty strong. So we have no strength to fight it out actually. So we can at best offer it to Krishna for healing. And that's also humbling. That's also an opportunity for us to become more humble. And when somebody glorifies us or appreciates us, we know that, you know, I have this baggage with me. That's quite humbling. So that helps us to tolerate. And simultaneously remembering Krishna will keep us positive and optimistic. Otherwise, we'll become very frustrated. What is that? We get an inferiority complex. And I'm suffering. I'm useless. I have so many anarthas. That's a very negative way. But if we keep remembering Krishna, that will keep us also joyful while acknowledging the fact that I have anarthas. But the remembrance of Krishna will keep us going in Krishna consciousness. So we can do both. Offer to Krishna for healing. And also it helps a lot to take shelter of Vaishnavas, to serve them. And because Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that the sign that a person has developed love of Godhead is love of Godhead in a devotee's heart manifests by two things. One is an aspiration to develop intimate relationship with other Vaishnavas. And second, compassion to give Krishna consciousness to the suffering souls. So conversely, if you work on these two also, we'll develop love of Godhead. So with all our anarthas, we can try to develop a good friendship with other Vaishnavas. And also preach, chant the holy names, and offer to Krishna all our anarthas for healing. He is the expert physician. Somebody else would like to add? Correct? Gaurgopal Prabhu. Thank you. Is it okay?
So it seems that, in taking shelter of Krishna, when these anarthas are revealed to us, that's impetus for us to intensify, you know, our hearing and chanting, right? Because we know that that's what purifies the heart. Nashta parisha badrishu.
Hearing, chanting.
Actually, it seems that there can be more of a cry. You got more to cry about when you realize, you know, how contaminated one is.
Yeah. It's an opportunity for us to cry for Krishna. That's what you are saying. Thank you, Guru. We'll stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande.